Sentient beings are numberless. I'm about to save them. Desires are inexhaustible. I'm about to end them. The dharmas are boundless. I vow to master them. The Buddha's way is incomparable. I vow to attain it. Welcome. Good morning. We've managed to patch up the boat of democracy and right it, and at least we're not sinking. So now what? So now do we just celebrate, of course, because we're alive. When the celebrating is done, do we just go on the deck and sunbathe while the storm is on the horizon? Do we wait for somebody to take hold of the sails and sail it for us? Who causes this ship to sail? All of us. We have to keep our eye on that, what our part is, and not sit back and expect it to sail itself. So I'm happy that we're headed in this direction. We'll have to wait and see whether we tighten the sails and navigate these seas of uncertainty towards a clear, brighter weather. So what gets in the way, of course, which I've talked about many times, is our perceptions of reality. Perception is projection. Did you get that? Can you wrap your head around that? Everything that you perceive is a projection. So when I say that, what am I talking about? Identification with I, me, and mine. So there's one mind, Buddha nature. That's it. There was a lot of talk yesterday about healing. It's wonderful. Healing takes place through understanding that our perception is projection and putting it down and just being here and seeing it as it is without our additional making it into something that we have perceived to be real. Our intellectual understanding, our thought process of putting things together and structuring them in such a way that they make sense to our thinking intellectual mind, and then holding onto that as though that's what is real. That's like creating walls around our little castle of sand that we've just built. It doesn't allow for the melting of all these different elements that are in constant flux and constantly moving and changing and flowing. As soon as we become rigid, then there's a need for healing. If we're in the flow, everything is as it is. And there's no need for anger and resentment and hatred. Our journey, you know, in this life to awakening is just that. What is there? What is this, really? Is it what we think it is? Drop it. Stop thinking this is it and ask the question, what is this? How does a sailor know where to go? A sailor understands the environment, knows how to interpret the clouds and the sky to understand when the storm is coming. It recognizes the stars and knows where the North Star is. This is done through observation, asking the question, what is this? It's like beginner's mind. It's that child who's always asking the question, what is this? Why is it like this? At some point, we stop doing that. You know, we assume we know, and then we put people in charge and assume that they're going to know. To keep the ship sailing in the right direction, we all have to do our part. Can't sit on our laurels and let it go. You know, there's a lot going on, and we've just begun to right the ship, really. And it's wonderful. These changes are really good because they're giving us fresh air to breathe, getting rid of the staleness. I just hope that people still continue to ask for truth to be told and for things to be righted and for us to keep going. Change has to happen. It has to continue. There is no back to normal. There's no normal. There's no, oh, here we are. Now we're okay. We're always okay, but not in the way we think. We're always supported, but not in the way we think. That's what I've been thinking about, you know, since this election came to an end, is what now? Where are we going with all this? And thank God the ship isn't sinking. I think the work we do to wake up, to understand the nature of things, to have a clear mind, that's going to help us to sail the seas of uncertainty. And we have to keep doing that. We have to keep waking up, not making it into something, seeing it for what it is. Keep going. We're all in it together. We're sailing this ship. Nobody else is.
Well, I've been thinking a lot about the fact that here we were headed straight for the cliff and we've been saved. But all the people that are so angry and discontent and aggrieved, and they're in the ship with us and they want to keep heading towards the cliff and are willing to go off over the edge. And so what can I do?
Yeah, so take racism, for example. People who are afraid of something being taken away from them that they believe is theirs. And this disease that runs through our society and culture has been here a long time. And it's been fighting tooth and nail to keep from changing. So the truth is tough love. Tough love means, I'm sorry, you're mistaken. It isn't going to continue that way. And I hope that for your sake, that you will see it doesn't have to be that way, so that you don't have to suffer so much. I hope for your sake, you'll see the beauty of inclusion instead of exclusion. I hope for your sake, you'll be able to change and see the error in your ways. Because it's not about your way or my way. You are mistaken. There is a way, and your way isn't it. Perception is projection. Where does truth come in? There's nothing to do with what you think it is or I think it is. When I say we're all in it together, it's not some idea I'm projecting. You just have to open your eyes. Who's breathing this air? So, you know, education, understanding, wisdom, gaining a foothold in how people think about life, you have to first of all acknowledge that there's some misperceptions going on here in our society, some holding on to ideas that have long since debunked, but they're holding on because they've been hidden. Trump allowed them to come to the surface. He allowed all this arrogant, self-serving, greedy ignorance to take front stage. Great. Now we see that we have a problem here, don't we? That 49% of the white population thinks that way. Wow. Didn't know that before. I always sort of swept it under the rug. Well, that's just a few of those characters, you know. But no, we have a real problem, systemic racism. It's a problem. White guys, white privilege, all of that is a big problem. We can't ignore it any longer. That's what this Trump 4 years brought to the surface for us. What's right here, right now, in front of us? What is this? It's systemic racism. It's not my side against your side. One side's clearly bullshit. Let's get real, folks. I mean, stop giving people value for something that doesn't have any value. Zen doesn't do that. Zen says, hey, get real or suffer the consequences. It's your karma, your disease, your pain, your suffering. You're projecting it on everyone else, and everyone is suffering. So if we want it to change, we have to change. We have to be willing to look at it squarely and say, okay, you know, already, you know, your politics is such an interesting game of avoidance and twisting and, you know, making things to be something they're not. It's politics is totally the game of perception is projection. It's a game, and it's a losing game unless you can be really honest. Now, fortunately, I think we have a really honest president coming into the office. So that's going to help. But we have to carry the torch of honesty and you know, and truth too. We have to re-educate and you know, change how police operate. And, you know, this thing about all being in the same boat, you know, coming together and seeing that we're all in the same boat, and stop with the, you know, blame and the game and the projections. Truth with a big T, it's Bodhidharma, it's reality, it's enlightenment, it's wisdom. You know, it's like swimming the sea of uncertainty together. It's great. Yeah, there's a lot to do. But every moment we have an opportunity to see how we're deluding ourselves. What a great thing. What else are we doing here on this planet? Learning how to stop deluding ourselves. That's it. I'm passionate about my views, but really, come on, let's do this. We can do it. I trust each and everyone because of Buddha nature. Even the most bigoted asshole, if he gets into a rowing boat with me and we have to row together down the stream, those walls will start to fall away. We're ending an era of division, we hope. But to continue down that road, we have to stay vigilant. So, you know, those paramitas I talked about on Wednesday when I chased you all out of here with being patient, the rest of them, you know, they all are part of our practice. So diligence, wisdom, meditation, it's all important part of our experience. So continue. Just put it down. We have the energy to do this.
But to your point about the elections, I think I saw like a meme on Facebook that said, don't let two men who will never know your name determine how you treat those around you. And I was like, you know, that's very true. Because when it comes down to it, I still have to see my neighbor. I still have to talk to my uncle. I still have to, you know, yeah. We can't let that be the dividing thing between us. There are so many other things that we can disagree on, but that doesn't seem like one that's worthy to me of disagreeing about anymore. It's done, it's over with. Let's move forward. Like you said, we're all on the ship together. So let's just be compassionate to each other and, you know, show love to those who maybe didn't show love to us.
Yeah, and help them along.
I will also say, when I did go visit my dad, I haven't seen him in years. We've been estranged for about 15 years, and I never really understood where he was coming from with his religious views when we were younger. My mom's family's Jewish and my dad is a Quaker. And I just, it didn't click. And then as I got to talk to him, he said, you know, Quakers are very similar to Buddhists. So it's kind of funny that you're becoming a little more Buddhist. And I was like, really? And then we talked about it. And I guess I started thinking about it. I guess I was like, oh, I guess I am a Quaker in a way then. So it was kind of interesting to talk about that.
Yeah. That's very interesting. Yeah. Well, the way I'm an immigrant, and the way I got to this country after World War II was through with the Quakers. And also how I managed to get out of Vietnam and become a war resister and part of the peace movement during Vietnam was through the Quakers. So they've been very supportive in my life. So I can appreciate them. Yeah. Yes, Peter.
Everything just seems so daunting at the moment. For those of us that are breathing this fresh air, about half the country is breathing this stale old corrupt air that's politics as usual. Got a lot of listening to do and a lot of navigating. Mm-hmm. Especially, I'm sure the Democrats are going to be tearing apart one another just as soon as January comes, if not sooner. So
yeah, that's what I meant by the blame game, right? I mean, it's and also the letting the sails just kind of float there instead of pulling them in tight and taking off for the future. Yeah. People are now tired, you know, and they want to kind of rest. And I guess the point is, I'm not sure we can afford to rest. One way to look at healing and forgiveness is it works best when you can admit that you were wrong. And like apartheid, you know, South Africa, I mean, the way that they dealt with all that extreme violence and hatred and bigotry and the rest of it was pretty remarkable. And I felt like the whole world benefited from that much more than if revenge had been taken. I think we can hold people accountable for their actions with the understanding that we really are all in the same boat in the sense of our delusions. We're all creating karma, we're all making mistakes, and we're all hopefully learning from them. So that's, I think, where the compassion comes in. Not that you excuse it, you don't excuse someone for what they did, but you understand it, and that's compassion, understanding, wisdom, seeing it for what it is. And then allowing for them to change so we can all move forward, right? Yeah. So I keep coming back to the Bodhidharma, to the reality of Buddha mind, to this one mind, this non-duality. The more that we're putting down our individual judgments, concerns, and things, and just being and doing what needs to be done clearly, we're contributing on a level that is not visible to the average small eye mind. Nonetheless, the clearer we each are in our own individual lives, the more the whole experience of humanity is being helped. I can't say that enough. It's something that's invisible to our self-centered, ordinary consciousness in meditation. You know, samadhi is a large landscape of reality that is much bigger than our idea of self. Structure that we build around the idea of self breaks down, and all of a sudden, you're seeing a larger landscape of being. And by being in that calm sea of one mind in meditation, something is happening there. Very profound, not something that we can understand intellectually or with our idea of who we are. We're part of a great, big, wonderful experience called Big Love. We just don't see it because we're caught up. You have to trust in it. And I'm not defining anything as God or universe, or I'm not going to put labels on it because that's limiting. When we say, what is this? Or a zillion Buddhas on the petal of one flower or in the breath of a hummingbird. The great mystery is there, no matter what we're struggling with at the moment. It's forever there. Can't take it away. Can't define it, limit it, make it your own. I have it, you don't. As much as we try. Trust in the Bodhidharma. Keep doing your work. Enjoy your lives. You know, I will do my best too. And when you're down and out, just remember, there's more to it than you think. Keep going. What else are you going to do? I'm going to go eat some lunch now, or breakfast, actually. So thanks for showing up. Appreciate it. Good to see you all. Be well, everybody.